Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Aggressive-wise, we're always trying to be really aggressive, and often that means just canvassing the league. Like, we want to, you know, stay engaged with all these teams, really communicate, talk about needs with each other and how we can help each other, and that's our level of aggression, is just to stay connected with these teams throughout this whole process.
Is that a level of aggression or not? That's Joe Cronin, Blazers general manager. Now, his hands may be tied, whether you believe Joe Cronin is the de facto general manager, or maybe if he just didn't have the ability or the authority to go get a deal. Are general managers in the league really trying to help each other? Here to talk about it, Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers podcast, former colleague of mine at the newspaper, at the Death Star. Mike Richmond joining us now. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me, John.
Help me with Cronin. Are you satisfied the Blazers canvassed the league and scoured and didn't find a deal, or what do you think happened at the deadline?
Well, when your asking price is above the market rate for what you're selling, you're not going to find a deal. I think that's about as simple as it can be. I think they have a limited number of players they're willing to trade. It's probably about four guys. Anfernee Simons, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton, Robert Williams. If your asking price is above what the league values those guys at, you are not going to find a deal. That is how shopping works in basically every market. And that is my read. And that is my read on what happened, is that they said, we want this. And everyone said, well, we don't pay that. And then that's kind of the end of the conversation.
I bumped into a Blazers fan last night, and he said, you know, they did nothing again. And there's a fan frustration. But amid that, they're winning basketball games. Do you believe this win streak played into how they viewed the deadline, or are these separate things?
They have to be separate. No one who's worked in the NBA can be tricked by 11 games. It just can't be. Before this stretch, which admittedly they have been awesome and fun, and awesome and fun for the first time in a half decade, like a long time. Admittedly, I think as a fan, that's what you're holding on to now. But before the stretch happened, they were 13-28 at the halfway point with a bottom five offense and a bottom five defense. They were not a good basketball team. To believe that they just fixed it all of a sudden from January 19th moving forward would be fooling yourself. So I don't think it played into it. I think they were likely to do nothing anyways because their asking price was high, but they get some cover, some grace from people like you and I, John, and some grace from the fans because they're rolling right now.
Mike, it's fun to see them winning. It's fun to see the guys on the court playing hard. You know, there's an undertow there, of course, of what we all know is the franchise's DNA that you know, we've got to deal with. But, you know, when we talk about asking price, you know, Jeremy Grant was the guy with the contract that I kind of hoped would be on the move. Maybe there's a move to be made there. Were you surprised that the asking price was so high, or is this kind of what the Blazers do in this era?
Yeah, this does seem to be their MO. I'm not surprised the asking price was high. I'm also not surprised that no one met that asking price. But I think all of the sort of reporting in and around the Blazers suggests that they have valued the players on their team at a level higher than what the market suggests. And so I honestly think if they were still a bad team, they likely would have been asking for, you know, for the moon for Jeremy Grant. And someone would have told them several times that the moon is not available. And so I just don't think that they are motivated to make those deals. And I think even maybe more than anything else, they don't want to appear to have lost a deal. Do you know the best way to appear that you didn't lose a deal is to not make one and to continue to push this down the line, because they have the luxury of patience to some extent, because there isn't a ton of pressure on them to be good. And also they've been really good recently.
Mike Richmond is with us, Locked On Blazers, daily podcast about the Trail Blazers. He's all over this team, covers it well. Realistically, what do you expect the rest of the season to look like for a team now that, you know, has caught lightning in a bottle? Can they sustain this at all? Or are they playing over their heads? Or what do you think is happening right now?
I do think they're genuinely playing better in a way that, I don't know if sustainable is the right word, but there are some things that are consistent. I think they have improved on defense in part because of lineup changes. They're just playing more of their better defenders more often, which also means they're playing less of Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe, which is admittedly a little bit weird for where the franchise is. But I think they're playing a better defensive lineup more often. And what they've seen is over the last 10 games, 11 games now, they're one of the best defensive teams. They're actually the best defensive team by the numbers in the league. That's probably a little bit overstated, but I do think that they have improved in a way that seems pretty repeatable in that area. But they're heading out on a difficult road trip, so maybe trips to Minnesota and a couple nights in Denver will be a sobering reminder of what really good teams look like.
Chauncey Billups, I came into this year and people asked, you know, can he coach or not? And I go, I don't know, because this roster, I just haven't been able to tell. I kind of targeted this deadline, Mike, and I thought this would be about the time if they were going to fire him, they would fire him, and yet here they are winning 10 games. What kind of job has Chauncey done in your mind?
Undoubtedly, this is his best work. I think that the confusing part of rating his coaching job is whether it aligns with the ultimate goals of the franchise. What Chauncey Billups has done over the last month is shorten the rotation to playing 8 and sometimes really 7 in a cameo appearance from Donovan Klingon, but a very tight rotation, leaning on the somewhat older vets on the roster, playing the games to absolutely win it, in some ways deprioritizing the youngsters of Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson, and it's turned out to have really good results. But is that the same direction the whole franchise is pulling the rope in? That's the question. Was this team at one point really destined to be wanting to be one of the bottom teams in the league? Well, the way Billups has coached has pretty much made sure they're not. The goal of each individual basketball game is to win, but every franchise has larger goals, and I wonder if Chauncey's good coaching even lines up with the plan.
Yeah, and I kind of look at that, and I go, is this guy going to win so many games he gets himself fired? Like, you know what I mean?
He's going to get fired for finally coaching well.
Right.
That's how this ends. He got to keep his job when he lost, and he's finally gonna coach so damn well he has to go get a new job.
Do you think he changed and tightened up the rotation because, you know, he thought, you know, I'm going to have a lot of eyes on me, and I want to show people I can coach? Or was it a necessity with injuries, or is this a directive coming top down from Bert Cold and Jody Allen? What do you think happened there?
You know, it's hard to know how much ownership says, well, we don't want to be an embarrassment, right? Like, I think there is part of that that might be a factor in some of the decisions they've made over the last few years, but I couldn't handicap on how much that goes into it. My read on what Billups did is he said, if I have free reign to coach and they're not going to give me a hard directive, I'm going to coach the way I think it's best. And the way I think it's best is that the young guys, Scoot Henderson and Shaedon Sharpe, haven't earned the minutes that some of the vets have, and they're not as good. And I don't want to run a charity case here, because this is not the way I think is the right way to coach. And because he doesn't have the leeway of multiple years left on his deal, there's no incentive for him to lose. When you have a little more space, then he can say, okay, I'm aligned with the plan. When you are on a one-year prove-it deal with an option for next year, that would be a one-year prove-it deal yet again. You have a lot less incentive to be on the same page. If you're not all aligned, you can get these weird situations where it's unclear who exactly is doing well, because who knows what the plan is.
I'm thinking about Scoot Henderson. He's obviously you know, shown something, and it's nice to see that happening. The future of this franchise, though, Mike, you know, Donovan Klingon, another draft pick. We're watching the league. You know, Dallas made a move, right? The Lakers made a move. The Warriors made a move. It's like Blazer fans are watching the world go by again. Is the plan right now to just kind of sit, wait, let these guys develop, try to get better in the draft again? What's the plan?
Yeah, I think the hard part about this team right now is it's unclear what the plan is, because they are earnestly very good right now. They're playing very well right now. You know, I've been around the team for about a decade, and this is you know, a very brief stretch, but up there with some of the best basketball they've played. The difference in prior iterations was that they had that A1 guy. They had that perennial all-star guy, be it LaMarcus Aldridge or Damian Lillard. And you felt like, okay, it makes sense, and you have the thing you need to win in the league. What the Blazers are missing is that. They're pretty good. They have a bunch of good role players. They have, they're not like heliocentric. They don't rely on one single body to rotate the whole thing around. Like, different guys step up on different nights. Scoot Henderson's had his nights, Shane Sharp's had his nights, Anfernee Simons, etc. But to win in the West, I mean, you look at the standings, the teams that are going to be in the playoffs have at least one all-star caliber player, if not several, and the Blazers don't have that. What they are is a really plucky, interesting team. But usually a plucky, interesting team would prioritize draft capital in order to get that next thing. There's a lot of ways to dress a salad. Maybe they figure it out. But right now it still feels like they're missing that frontline guy.
All right. I'm watching this win streak. I think a lot of people are. You're covering it. Locked On Blazers podcast for people who are interested. Mike Richmond with us. You mentioned the games that are coming, but is the Western Conference, is a play-in series a victory for the Blazers this season, or would that be viewed as, oh man, the objective was to tank and look at how far away they are from the bottom?
You know, if you had had me on last week, I would have said, I think the play-in is a mistake. But now that they've kept winning, I don't think they can get to the bottom. I don't think pulling the plug actually benefits them in the end in this one. They're just too far ahead of the truly bad teams, and there's some other teams that are even more aligned and incentivized to lose games. Like, the Blazers could literally lose out, and I don't think they would finish with one of the bottom three records in the league. That would be losing every game. I believe they have 30 left for the remainder of the season. They're not going to do that, right? They're too competitive right now. So at this point, you always want to have a higher draft pick so there are less teams in front of you making decisions, shoot, why not? Why not try for a play-in spot, right? Why not give the guys on the team something realistic to play for and play ethical basketball for a full 82 games for the first time in 5 years?
This franchise has got a trustee running it. I will not stop talking about this, Mike. I'm so ready for somebody who would love the team to own the team, not just a trustee. Bert and Jody gone, go do the Seahawks, whatever you need to do. But do you get a sense that that is anywhere on the horizon, or do you think Jody just continues to kind of play Queen Bee and sit on the baseline for a while?
I think the people running the Blazers enjoy running the Blazers. I think Bert Cold likes being the owner of the team or the acting owner of the team, and there's no real mechanism. And there's no real mechanism to make him stop. I just think that's the case. I think the lack of like distinct direction has come from the top, and it's like they're kind of in a weird spot because the people at the top, it's not about being cheap necessarily. It's about being like focused on exactly what the goals are, as opposed to kind of floating in this sort of middle ground where the Blazers appear to be currently. I think maybe one of the things they're waiting on is expansion. There's some money to be had in expansion fees from ownership. There was people pointing to the new media deal that would allow them to, accrue some more money and sell the team for more value. But if I had to guess, we are not that close to new ownership for the Blazers.
Mike Richmond, Locked On Blazers podcast. You can find him on Twitter as well. Mike, thank you for joining us. Good to hear your voice, my friend, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for having me back, John.
You bet. There he goes. Stephen Vaughn, you got a problem with your Blazers. And it's not, look, it's a different kind of problem than you had several weeks ago. Several weeks ago, it was, this is a garbage franchise with a season headed nowhere. They're going to be picking in the lottery again. Will they be lucky, or will they just be another loser in the loser's lounge at some dying casino off the strip? But now, you got a team that plays hard. You got a coach that's trying to win games. They won 10 of 11. They're kind of fun to watch. The season's probably not going anywhere meaningful, really. They're not a contender. But is this better? Is this better than just a race to the bottom?
I tend to think it is. And I'm usually not like the winning culture guy. Like, I feel like I'm more of a get the talent in there and they'll figure it out. But I do feel with, to Mike Richmond's point of, this team doesn't have that star player. This team is a true team right now. Like, that's how they have to win ball games. You look at how they're winning games. It's a new player every single night that's making the big plays, whether it's Anthony Simons or Tumani Kamara, Denny Avia, all these guys. It's somebody new every night. I do think that having them play together and Chauncey's shortening the bench to 7-8 players, and Chauncey's going with the top five guys to finish the game. He doesn't care who it is. He's throwing out the best five. He benched Denny Avia last night. He's benched Anthony Simons. I think that it is good to have all these guys playing together and winning ball games and being in competitive ball games against good teams. I do think that that is helping the culture of the Trailblazers, because the culture has been so toxic the last, what, five seasons? Ever since they made the Western Conference Finals, basically, like, after that season, it's been pretty toxic of losing games, getting injured, tanking seasons. I do think this is better. Now, I kind of wish that they would have traded away Jeremy Grant. I kind of wish that they did suck this year because the draft is so good at the top. But I think ultimately, having good, like a good environment, good vibes around the team will eventually pay off for the Trailblazers because they have some pieces that are growing. So I like the way they're going. I still don't agree that they didn't trade Jeremy Grant. They need to do that to play these young players, but I think they're in a good direction.
I think Mike hits on it when he's talking about Burt Cold wanting to be the owner of the team, and there's no mechanism there to remove him. He's not the owner of the team. He's just happened to be Paul Allen's college roommate, and he ended up, you know, in position where he's controlling the Trailblazers, and then Jody's along for the ride. Burt's making all those decisions. But, you know, Mike Richmond there talks about the Blazers overvaluing their players. Who overvalues players? Fans do. Burt Cold's a fanboy, and he's sitting baseline pretending like he's the owner of the team. And so, of course, the Blazers overvalue all their players. And, of course, they're afraid to look stupid in a trade because they have a fan who's running the franchise and not a good fan. If you want a good fan, go up to the 300 level and pick a fan who knows basketball. Pick a fan who's been there night in and night out and put them in charge, and the Blazers would be better off. Instead, you got Burt, whose only qualification for the job is that he was randomly selected and assigned Paul Allen as a roommate in college. That's it. We're stuck in that, you know, third dimension Alfred Hitchcock Twilight Zone, you know, Black Mirror episode where Burt Cold, who, by the luck of the draw, like, imagine if the luck of the draw had put, like, somebody who knew basketball as Paul Allen's roommate. Franchise would be, you know, wheeling and dealing today. Instead, sitting tight and watching the world go by.
And that's the problem, John, is because there is no direction. You're right. Like, Mike doesn't know. I don't know. You don't know.
What's the plan?
Are they trying to win? Or are they trying to, you know, go for the future? Nobody knows. And now this win streak is coming in. It's like, well, is this real? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Let's just ride it out and see what happens. Like,
Yeah. And the truth is, in the NBA, you know this, in the early part of the season, and maybe even right now, right around the deadline, there are two little soft windows where you get a lot of teams that, you know, we had that report the other day, you know, the Phoenix Suns go to their shoot-around and they're distracted, right? Because they don't know who's going to be on the team. And, you know, people may remember Rasheed Wallace back in the day, and he gave that CTC quote. You know, he had played a basketball game where he took one shot. He had one shot in a basketball game. He had 11 assists. And I asked him after the game, do you care who you play for? And he whipped around and said, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, CTC. It was right around the trade deadline, right? The trade deadline was coming, and Rasheed was going, I don't know if I'm going to be here. And he knew the Blazers were shopping him. And so it was a protest. And so right in this window that the Blazers have won games, and I don't want to take anything away from the players, but Chauncey's coaching like it's game 7 of the NBA Finals. And there is a segment of the league that is looking around going, well, our roster's a little distracted right now. You can steal games in the early season by playing hard and playing a short rotation. You can steal games right now. But pretty soon here, like in the next few days, you're going to see the real contenders suit everybody up and go to the mattresses for the final 25 or 30 games of the season. Can the Blazers hang there? We're going to find out, because you got teams around them in the standings, Golden State, the Lakers in front of them, others that are really going to go for it. And we'll see what happens. Our Big Splash is coming up. It's got Super Bowl intrigue and a little Dateline NBC twist to it.